Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to the Jay Bird Watching Podcast, the official podcast of jaysjournal.com and fansided.com, where we discuss all things Toronto Blue Jays baseball. We'll talk about news, rumors, and game recaps. So whether you're a diehard fan or just getting started with the team, this is the podcast for you. Here's your host, Craig Borden, with co-hosts Jason Lyons and me, Ken Alfred. You're listening to the Jay Bird Watching Podcast.
Good evening, Blue Jays fans, and welcome to a very special edition of Jay Bird Watching. I am your host, Craig Borden. As usual, I am here with Ken Alfred. Ken, how are we doing this week?
I'm doing well here, and it's funny, here in Ajax, Ontario, Canada, we'd actually had a really good day in terms of weather-wise. And so I got to pull up my Fahrenheit to Celsius calculator here. It was 60.
There you go. As I say, it was a good 72 here. So like you said, very nice, very beautiful. Although I have a strange feeling it's not quite as beautiful where our guest is. Obviously in the wonderful city of Dunedin. Mo Freeney, how are we doing this evening as you join us from the city of Dunedin?
I'm doing good, and it's actually beautiful. It's like, I think, probably low 70s here today, and it's a gorgeous day. We've been through some ups and downs with the weather, you know, in terms of cold and warm, but I think we're going to settle into the 70s hopefully for a little while. So
nice.
Yeah. Which is perfect baseball weather. And I've been watching on TV. Perfect. And I think we even saw a Vladimir Guerrero Jr. home run today, which was very exciting on TV. I swear to God, I wasn't watching it on my phone at work. So, but on that note, we are here to talk with Mo today about just Blue Jays fans making any migration down to southern, below the border here in Canada, and enjoying some fun in the sun down in Dunedin, Florida. And we are going to talk all things Blue Jay history and whatnot in the city of Dunedin. And Mo, why don't we just talk and start there with where you have been, apparently more central to this whole operation than I was reading in your profile. You've been working on this team for over 20 years, right?
I'm going to take you a little way back. I'm going to just say that, you know, I was born in Salamanca, New York, not too far from Buffalo, got lots of cousins in that area. We traveled to Toronto quite a few times when I was younger. And I would have never thought I'd had this amazing relationship with Toronto and the Toronto Blue Jays so much later in life. You know, and then I actually worked as a staff person long before I got on the commission. I was a risk manager in the early days of the Blue Jays. And, you know, I can still remember I would go to the Blue Jay Stadium at that time. And it's probably like in the late 80s, early 90s. And I'd hang out and sit and do some work by myself in the stadium and just take it all in. So, I mean, and I used to take my dad in the early 2000s to the Blue Jay games. And we were in the middle of negotiations at that time. I still remember 2002 negotiations. And my dad said, well, Dunedin can never lose the Blue Jays. That would be crazy, wouldn't it? I mean, they're such a part of Dunedin. And I mean, so they're in my heart. Blue Jays are in my heart.
Nice.
And that's great to hear.
Yeah. So I have a quick question. So how important are the Jays to Dunedin right now? Because I think for a lot of this just casual fans or even hardcore fans, we always antithesis of Toronto Blue Jays, Dunedin is kind of like a marriage that's been going on for a long time. So talk about like how important it was and all that sort of stuff.
Well, yeah, I mean, so just kind of hitting on the marriage theme, I'll say that, you know, we're literally in our 48th year of marriage. So we're coming up on that 50th. So, you know, the golden one. But, you know, it started in 1977. We're in the 48th year of the partnership. You know, that's the only major league franchise that stayed in one spring training home. It's been an evolution. I actually just talked to our former mayor, Manny Koutsourias, recently. And he was saying, you know, to tell you the truth, Mo, because he was there at the time when they were originally coming. And he said, you know, we probably had no business trying to get a major league baseball team in this town at that time. But, you know, they started it out and you never know where it goes, because now it's just, you know, it's amazing. We're into a new 25-year agreement with the extensions that could go 10 years, which would mean till 2056, the Blue Jays could be here. So, but I mean, and then when you take off on just Canadians in general, like I, you know, they're just part of our fabric here, the Canadians. And of course, if you look at the statistics for our visitors to Pinellas County overall, in Pinellas County area, the Bay Area, I mean, it's like 500,000 Canadians come every year and they spend about $500 million. So, I mean, but despite that, I mean, we're proud to be the second home for a lot of Canadians as well. And I mean, they're just part of us. They're family. We've just kind of been one for so long. And when COVID happened, you know, we really missed everybody and it was great when they came back.
To that point, Ken, just being the weird American Blue Jay fan and being somebody that's been to Dunedin as many times as I have been, I thought it was rather ironic that I think it was outside of Flanagan's pub. It said they speak Canadian, eh? There's a bunch of signs.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Trust me. You know, everybody.
Humor.
We know when the Canadians are coming and everybody's, you know, everybody's ready with their stuff. So that's good.
But to that point, it is fun, and every time I've been down there, it's just a million one great things to do. And that, but to that point, you mentioned the 48 years. That is as old as this franchise. The Blue Jays have not been anywhere else. Where I can't say that for all the other minor league teams for the Toronto Blue Jays, and just even the last couple of years, I was good friends with the people that were in the Lansing Lugnuts organization, which are now part of the Oakland Athletics. Now, wherever the hell the Oakland Athletics are going to play in the major leagues in the next few years, so it's like you said, that's got to be one of the very few, if not the only, team in Major League Baseball that's been so married for as long as they have been to a town. And I love that fact, and it always has that great vibe. And if you went to Exhibition Stadium, it sounds like at that point, it's always had that small vibe to even the Blue Jays growing up, and you've been right there growing with them.
Yeah, and actually it's funny because with our new stadium, you know, I was thinking, when I was thinking of talking to you guys tonight, I'm thinking, well, what makes it so special? And you kind of said it a lot. I mean, there's not a bad seat in the stadium now. I mean, it's close to the field, very intimate feeling. Of course, you know, you always have to have a couple party spots. So it's got Eddie's, that, you know, it's a patio bar. You guys have probably been out there, and, you know, so you can think it takes up to 70 people, and you can just have fun. And then, of course, where I think the real partying happens is, you know, you've got the 360 degree around the field, and you got the WestJet center field bar. And yeah, I rarely go out there, but I know a lot of people, that's the only place they go. So it's a fun place.
Well, I think that, Ken, that's kind of like how we go up to the, you know, the, I'm going to call it Sky Dome, because that's just where it really is called in Toronto. The fact that we always end up meeting up at the flight deck with friends and goofing around, but now that that whole, just all the way from minor leagues, all the way up through the major leagues, and it's all of the minor league teams too, Buffalo, New Hampshire. You all have created this kind of wonderful same culture for the fans all the way through the minor league system to the Toronto Blue Jays. And I cannot say enough good things about how that just brings an awesome vibe for even the players, I'm assuming, too. But just to keep people there, I've been to plenty of DJs games where I've seen just as many of their players coming up through that system. And I think you hit the nail on the head, Mo, that you are so much closer in your ballpark right there in Dunedin than I have ever been for any even minor league baseball team. So,
well,
and I think that is the big piece.
It is. And of course, we're really proud of what it is now. And I mean, and of course, it, you know, some people will say it went from worst to best. And, but the governor's baseball event last year was held here, right? You know, at the time it was after the opening after COVID. And so it was like the first governor's event after that. And just recognizing baseball in the state of Florida, we had the commissioner of baseball here. But I mean, but I think it was just because everybody was proud of this facility. It was like all of a sudden we're like a top facility. And so it was pretty cool. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, I will never say worse just because of how close I was to the fans and or the players and everything like that. And then, like I said, there was enough culture to the ballpark, too. I think I made the joke before I came on here that there was the beer people that were walking around doing the vending and everything like that. There was a gentleman there that was, he might as well have been a stand-up comedian. The one that stuck with me was he was yelling out, "Well, if you can't catch a ball, you catch a buzz." And he kept saying weird jokes like that. I forget the gentleman's name. I actually pulled him aside and talked to him for a little bit. And I forget his name, but he was hilarious. So, but just having that ballpark feel to it and having all the great things and knowing now that you have all of that to be able to go with a first class facility. I cannot wait to see it in person. I've unfortunately haven't had the time and money to be able to make a trip, but apparently now I'm going to have to make sure we grab a beer on the
flight. You guys got to get down here. It's I was actually at a game the other day and I'm sitting in front of these people and clearly they were literally having all the courses of their meal. They had their beer, they had a full like hamburgers and hot dogs and then and then the husband was sent down to get ice cream for all of them. So they were having every piece of the meal there. So it's great concession too. And it's a great vibe. And I mean, just to throw in while I'm thinking about it, Shelby Nelson, who's the North America leader here in Dunedin, he in our area, he was just saying that it's like our best, it's our best season. I mean, the numbers are great. Everything's going super great with numbers. So we're probably going to beat all records.
Nice.
That's pretty congratulations cool. on that.
Yeah. Congrats.
Yeah. They're excited. And that makes us excited because you want it to have all that great vibe. You want to get people here and come into the game. So,
And there are so many other reasons to be in the area, which I know we're going to get to. I want to focus on the other upgrade for a few minutes here before we talk about that. It's not just the ballpark that we're seeing on TV in spring training here. It is a bunch of stuff. This was a huge investment for the area, the city of Dunedin, and the Blue Jays, and it is paying off in spades on all avenues. Blue Jays have gotten better players knowing that they have a first-class facility. The Major League Baseball Network, I think, was there touring everything over the weekend that they just were dumbfounded by how nice the player facility is. So talk how that came together a little bit for us, Mo.
Yeah, so basically, 25-year agreement, like I said, and with 5 2-year options. So basically 2056, we could have baseball here. Complete makeover of the stadium. And I told you about some of the amenities. I think the only one I probably forgot is there's kind of an outdoor event area that I think it was originally envisioned as a kid area. But it's really, they kind of left it as kind of an open space. So they changed it out. Yeah. So sometimes it's a kid area.
Is that about where the Canadian Grill used to be?
Yeah, there you go.
It was just hot dogs. I don't know why it was so special.
We have everything. We even have our employee picnic there sometimes. And we had the governor's baseball event for the state of Florida there, out there. So it's kind of, it's universally used for a lot of different reasons, but a lot of times for kids. So that's one of the things that's super with the stadium. And of course, the stadium holds like 8,000 seats with 500 standing areas. So, they're filling them up. So it's awesome. I think opening day was completely sold out. So now the player development complex, like you said, is the other piece. And that, I'm told, again, I'm not the baseball expert, but I'm told by baseball experts, it's the best in baseball. And so it's 110,000 square foot facility overall. It's got 6.5 fields. It's got about $30,000 of indoor exercise space. It's got some giant hill that you have to walk up. It's just for the exercise of working your legs. Automatic pitching areas. And I think when you guys get a chance to get a tour of it, I think the neatest part about the player development complex is when you go in, it's just kind of this motivational center. So you have a lot of history with some of the players over the years that have been Jays stars, but you just have like along the walls, just big motivational sayings to keep the team, keep the players motivated and of course it's great. And of course the locker rooms are pretty good, especially for the major league players. So, and they even got these great big giant, like leisure chairs that are amazing. So it's an amazing facility. And I mean, overall it was $111 million project. So just kind of to run you the numbers, if you're interested, if anybody is. So
I'm sure our listeners are.
Yeah. The Blue Jays put in about 50 million and of the 111 million. And then the county was the next big investor, which was 41.7 million, which comes of our basically our bed tax, which is a lot of it comes from tourism with the hotels. It's called bed tax for overnight. And then the state put in $13.7 million, and the city of Dunedin, with its 37, 38,000 residents, we put in $6.1 million, which a lot of that came from Penny for Pinellas tax. So we got this amazing two facilities, really, the stadium and the player development complex. And for the citizens of Dunedin, you know, it's this great asset now. But and of course, people are just super, super jazzed about it.
Yeah, it's actually pretty
I can tell
cool.
you I'd be living at that ballpark if I was living in Dunedin with you. And I actually have some friends that live not too far from where you are.
So, you know, funny story.
That's the reason I go down.
Yeah, when you talk about living close, it's just funny because when I originally ran for election as commissioner in 2016, it was before the signing of the 25-year agreement. So I was going to neighborhoods, going to people's homes, and I'd always ask them, how do you feel? Especially in the neighborhoods close to the stadium or close to the player development complex, because they're two different neighborhoods. And I'll tell you what, like people, they were excited. They wanted it. They wanted the Blue Jays. They love the Blue Jays. And it was overwhelming. I mean, it was just it was an easy decision because it got made more affordable for us as a small community, because we couldn't afford a lot of money as a small community. It just kind of came together, but people were super excited.
Yeah, no, that's pretty cool. Let me ask a quick question there, Craig. So Mo, this whole facility, which is, you know, beautiful and everything, was there anything that people wanted in there that we just couldn't get this time that's going to be built a little bit later on? Or how does that, I'm just kind of curious, because it was a lot of money invested into it and it's like top end facility, but was there anything that people wanted that they just couldn't get it for this one?
Yeah. Well, you know, if you ask the Blue Jays, they might give you a different answer. Obviously, when it came to the player development complex, I mean, there were things actually the Blue Jays added after the fact. So their number kept going up because they were like, yeah, we want to have this, we want to have that. So I think they really didn't spare a lot when it came to the actual player development and the really to be the, you know, state-of-the-art best training center that they could have for their players. On the stadium, it was a little tighter, and I think there had to be some value engineering. So from my perspective, I think a couple of things that would have been nice, and I think the team probably would agree, it would have been nice to have had the suites. We have two suites that fit 25 people, and of course then the press box. And you know, at one time it was going to be much kind of a bigger area and a little bit nicer suite. So that was one thing. But you know, everybody kind of decided, you know, that's for all the hobnobbers, right? That's not for where the people go and sit. So that's okay.
Exactly.
We can give that up.
And to that point.
Yeah. And then the other thing was, at one time, not just the 360 degree around the stadium, but also, or the field, but also we were going to have like grassy areas where people could actually sit in the grass, you know, 360 degrees around. And so, and that would have been neat. I hated for that piece to go away, but actually even the border around the walkway is super cool.
Yeah, no, that was really cool that they did that. And just as a person that's been in that press box before, it needed a little bit of an upgrade because I was a little too close to Jim Tarabocchia when I was in there last time. He's a great guy, don't get me wrong. But but it was fun. Yeah, had the pleasure of sitting with him for a couple of Dunedin Blue Jays games up there. And while my family was enjoying the game, I sat with him for a few innings and called a little baseball. So that was a good time. So... But
that was a great question. That was a challenge to try to cut some things that we didn't love too much, right?
So. Yeah, but it sounds like you got the kitchen sink, so you got everything you needed. So
yeah, we really did, and I was the opening day, which was February 24th, 2020. We got through 10 or 11 games before COVID hit. And so we were always super grateful we got the big grand opening in. And I did bring something to show you guys, because it's like it's something I'll hang on to for my life. So
a beautiful sunset in the Dunedin painting behind you.
Ooh, wow.
That's cool. Like,
only certain people, and I was not even all the commission got these giant scissors at the ribbon cutting on opening day. But because I was liaison on the commission, I was able to get one and stand there. And there's actually like a guitar case looking case that you put this in too. So, but I'll tell you what, like, it's next level. It's my pride and joy.
Wow.
Yeah, that is really, really cool. Well, that, and that's awesome. You always see those ribbon cuttings, and I guess I would be one of those people that I never thought of it. What happens to those scissors after the fact? Is it a trophy for somebody, or like that's something perfect for
Mo
you?
Mo has a collection of it, Craig. We know what happened to him.
Huh? What she's like, my toys back here.
No, I was going to say, Mo has all the scissors, man. So every time you ask, she has a collection of scissors probably somewhere. So.
Well, I mean, at the time.
One for every special occasion.
Yeah, usually you give up your scissors, right? But these were commemorative scissors. They said you got to keep them. But I didn't even want to give mine up. But they like took them, put them in cases for us and brought them back to us. Because I said, you sure you're giving back to me, right? Because this is awesome. So, yeah. In that case, we got to keep them. So, but it's,
good deal.
Keepsake, so.
So is that something like where the guitar case, as you mentioned, does it have like the date that you opened the ballpark and all that kind of stuff on it too? Or is it just
the scissors? I saw the logo on it. That's the only thing that has a date on it. But
there it is.
No, that one doesn't.
Perfect.
Well, I'll tell you what, if you got kids, grandkids, nieces, nephews that are little, like they think those scissors are, completely next level. They've never seen anything like this.
And they really cut too, right?
They do. They really cut. Yeah. Wow. I'm not going to say cut, but I've actually tried to cut some.
Running some avocados.
That seems like that might be the hard way to do office paperwork, actually, getting going with that. And just hopefully those kids weren't running around with those big things. You know, regular scissors, bad enough.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
But that's really fun.
Yeah. So
was there anything else cool like that in the midst of, like I said, I know that this was a big undertaking for the city and all the things that you and your office had to go through to get to the Blue Jays, anything like that. Was there anything in that juggling back and forth that was a really fun story or anything like that, that maybe stood out amongst the rest?
No, I mean, I think obviously there was a lot of ups and downs and some of that happened prior to me being on the actual commission. So I know there was a lot of, sometimes it didn't look like it was going to happen and it looked like it was going to happen. And I have to give a big shout out because our mayor, who's our current mayor still, and she terms out this year, Julie Bajowski, she worked really tirelessly and sometimes, people just thought she was wasting her breath, wasting her energy, but she kept pushing. And then of course, Mark Shapiro, I think, really saw the vision of Dunedin and how amazing the city was and how kind of neat it was. And so I think there were just a lot of things like that that came together. But then you had all the attorney stuff get in the middle. And then, of course, all the pieces of the funding was critical, the county, the state, because, again, as a small city, as I would say as a candidate at that time, as a small city, we can only afford so much. If we can afford it, like absolutely, we've got to keep them. So it's just a matter of can we afford it. But we got a lot of help, and the Blue Jays ended up being the biggest contributor. So, which is great too, because that makes everybody look good when government and the corporation work together to do it. I did have a quote I wanted to read you because it was there was an article when Major League Baseball was done that Mark had, and it was in Sports Money. It was a Sports Money article, and I think kind of when you think about what's kind of cool about it being in Dunedin, he expressed it well. Let me just read it. It says, this is Mark. We are at the point where we have the charm of old world spring training in that it is the only stadium and only facility in the middle of a neighborhood, said Shapiro. That is how all the facilities used to be. We are still in the middle of a neighborhood, but with all the modern resources necessary. In my mind, it is the best of all worlds, because it has a foothold in the tradition of the Blue Jays history with Dunedin and the history of traditional spring training, but all the opportunities for a competitive advantage as well. So I think that kind of said it, like that's what makes Dunedin so unique, that like these places, they're in the middle of neighborhoods and, a lot of people just walk to the games and it's just a great feel. And it's like Mark said, it's like how it was, it's how it used to be for everybody. Now we're pretty unique, so.
Well, I'll admit, at least it was more of a walk to the ballpark and a little bit of a stumble back. But that was maybe just how my afternoon went. And at least I did the Dunedin tourist thing. I went from my buddy's house that is in Dunedin. I went to the ball game and then I went to the village. So I went and did the full circle.
Yeah,
had a really good time.
Craig, I'm an elected official, so I can't get into too much if I stumbled. To lay low a little bit.
Yeah. Oh, come on. Some of your constituents might go right for that idea. Got my vote. So in the midst of this whole thing too, the relationship obviously isn't over, and you have 25 years, like you said, pretty much locked in and guaranteed. But tell us about the other project, because I know about this project with the minor league players, but I would say probably a lot of the Blue Jays fans in general, especially outside of Dunedin, are not currently aware of that project going on. And I think it's really exciting, because I think this is where minor league baseball players should be getting a little bit more of these amenities. And a lot of players are kind of in the ballpark right around you and living around there. So this is only that much more beneficial for them.
Well, you know, the minor league players, when they come to Dunedin over the years, have kind of been spread around all over the place. And so the Blue Jays have always had the vision, you know, and I don't want to speak for them, so this is but they've always had the vision of trying to bring them all together. And so they wanted to have a facility of some type to put them in. So it's been something they've been working towards. And what's been pretty special for us is that Charlie Wilson, who was kind of the lead person on this with the Blue Jays, he's just a great guy. And he was just determined that they would find some type of property in Dunedin to make it be part of Dunedin, this Blue Jay Hotel that would, for most of the year, you know, probably 10 months out of the year, house the minor league players. So they continued on. And of course, one of the things we don't have a lot of in Dunedin is land, because we're pretty built out. So they kept on the move. They found a place on Dunedin Causeway. They actually, like, I think they started on one side of the street and that didn't work, and they moved to the other side of the street, and then they had problems kind of fitting it in. I think the commission actually said no three times, just because we have to be careful, you know, between traffic and the look of a building and the density, you know, for our citizens and mm-hmm. our codes. But boy, they kept at it. So they got to yes, and the commission was excited to be able to say yes. And so they're probably about halfway built now on Dunedin Causeway for the facility that's, I don't know the number of units. I forget that, but I think it's like a 2 or 3 story. Underneath, it's got parking. For the most part, they won't have cars because they're the minor league players. So what will happen is, for the most part, they'll have, which was great for the traffic issues, because for the most part, there'll be a big bus that'll come in the morning and take them to the player development complex and bring them back later in the evening. And I'll tell you again, the Blue Jays, just amazing corporate citizens trying to think of, you know, how can they basically build this, but also be a good citizen, a good corporate citizen for the rest of the citizens in terms of all the traffic issues, including, you know, we have a lot of restaurants on the causeway, and you know, Mark Shapiro himself said to me, Mo, like, if there are certain times the players shouldn't go there because there's rushes of the other citizens and visitors, we can make sure to send our players at certain times. So again, always just trying to think about how they can best fit the community. But again, how neat is that to, you know, have the stadium, have the player development complex. And now, because they wanted it so bad, we will have this Blue Jay Hotel on Dunedin Causeway and have all the Blue Jay things in our community because of this marriage. And I'm going to start calling it marriage because it's
there we go.
What it is.
I think you're accurate with that. When you've been, it's what, you, like you said, almost 50 years at this point. That's my grandparents were married that long, God rest their soul, but that's how it is. That's how where you're at. I just do have one quick question, and I didn't know if you knew this or not, but this is the Blue Jays flip side of that coin, like you said, with the minor league complex and everything for the players. Blue Jays were actually the first team in the last few years to actually break that whole picket line kind of like idea that the owners were holding out on paying the minor league players more appropriately for, you know, just like kind of like a living wage kind of thing. Blue Jays were the first ones that actually really drove that conversation. So I'm not shocked they're taking this next step with all of you in the town of Dunedin and everything and just making it, closing the circle up, right? As a guy that knew he couldn't make it and would have been playing independent baseball league, trying to flip burgers at 5 places. I know how hard that lifestyle can be. So anything that you can do to keep helping out, it's all beneficial for everybody.
Yeah. And you know what, when you say that, what it kind of brings to mind is, you know, relationships as they evolve. I mean, there's just special pieces of it. And, And I said this recently, that the leadership of the Toronto Blue Jays, and I say this with, you know, all my heart, they're strong business people, and they're working for the good of the organization. But I mean, they're nice people. Like, I mean, when I look at like the Mark Shapiro and Shelby Nelson, who we work with here locally, and Ken Carson before him, who actually lives here permanently now and he's retired, Marnie Starkman, Charlie Wilson, Matt Schuber, who's an attorney. I mean, they're nice people. And so over the years, along with being, you know, pretty tough negotiators, now that we've got this, you know, renewed marriage, it's pretty nice. And they're great corporate citizens. Like, they do, our high school team plays most of their games at the Blue Jay Stadium at TD Ballpark. And that's in the high school team. Cool. They just think that's fantastic. And the Blue Jays, they run the scoreboard. They do a lot of stuff in kind to make that possible. And they do things with the other little league teams and help with equipment and things like that. So there's just so many ways that they are invested in and such a piece of who Dunedin is now.
That's great. So Mo, our fourth member of the team actually here joined us. So we're going to make sure we get him off the bench and call him into the game here. So Jason Lyons,
hey,
buddy.
Hey, how's it going? How's it going? Hey, Mo.
Hey, Jason. How's it going? Nice to meet you.
Really good. I had a very important volleyball game to go watch before I came here. One of my boys was playing volleyball, so they won. They went 2-0, so all good in the hood.
Yeah,
there you go.
Got to be here for the kids.
And it's interesting you bring that up, Mo. One of the things that I was going to sort of mention to you is I've had a number of friends go down to the facility, and they can't say enough about the city. They can't say enough about, you know, how lovely it is down there. And I think sometimes Florida wears a bit of...
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
A bad hat when it comes to places to go. And it's really nice to have people sort of say, you know, Dunedin stands out as a gem down there. Like, you've got to get down there. So it's great that the city stepped up and that the Jays have stepped up to match. It's just, it's amazing. And we're, you know, awesome to have you here.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that. We're pretty proud. Like I said, I think I've been in the city for 40 years now. And I actually said this recently to somebody that I can remember, like 25 years ago, our local newspaper did a thing that they asked Dunedin residents to say what's special about Dunedin. And I'll bet, like, even though there was half the amenities that we have now, I mean, there in downtown was nothing, right? It was just building. It was beginning to build. And it was just on the early stages of growing into something. And, you know, I'll bet you would get the exact same statements from the people of Dunedin about their pride and the specialness of Dunedin even then. But now we're proud of our place. And there's a lot for everybody. We're a really super welcoming community, and we're proud of that too. I personally rarely get out of our bubble. Some people say, oh, Mo, did you go to this place in St. Pete? I'm like, yeah, no. That means I got to leave my bubble. My bubble.
Mo, do you know where I am? I'm in Vancouver, BC. So I'm in Canada on the farthest other side of the country. I'm just
hours, a long way away.
3 hours north of Seattle. Like, it snowed yesterday. Like, no joke, it snowed yesterday.
I'm done with snow. I got to tell you that, Jason. I'm done.
It's got to make you guys pretty proud, though, too, when you've got players who are actually saying part of the reason that they want to be a part of the Blue Jays is the facilities that they do have. I mean, it speaks so much to the city and to what the council and you guys have, you know, we see too much, especially in Canada, too many councils, cities, and towns battling against what should be easy things to do, like what you guys have down there. We have a beautiful ballpark here in Vancouver called Matt Bailey, but it's constantly a battle to keep that building right and being treated properly. And so it's a real credit to you guys to what you've done down there and what an amazing facility it is.
Yeah, I just give the shout out to the partnership overall.
Yeah.
It takes a lot of players, including, you know, the county. County's been an amazing partner in helping make this a reality. And of course, the city and the Blue Jays and the state put in as well. So, it's taken a village, but our community definitely, from the perspective of embracing the Blue Jays, I mean, they so embrace the Blue Jays and our Canadian visitors. We love our Canadian visitors.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you're welcome. Especially for the Canadians, you're welcome.
We're trying to organize a field trip next year, I think.
Yeah, you guys have to. I always said, too, like the one thing that I kind of love that the Blue Jays are with Dunedin is that I love that it's another country. I just love that, you know, it's not just another team from a different city. It's another country. And so and all the things that come with that, that's just really kind of special. So.
Yeah, the international feel of baseball, that really makes it even more like when you've got a pitcher from Cuba and a player from Panama and, you know, a guy from Australia and you know, all over the globe. And it's turning into such a global game that, you know, when we do, like, we're very lucky sometimes when we get NFL games that come up and cross the border. They've done it in Ontario. They've done it here. And, you know, it's I always find it interesting to see that international edge of the game and just – being able to have a nice place to go play where it's warm all year round, you know.
Right. So
that's the wonderful benefit of being around Dunedin too, is, you know, it's the Blue Jays. If you wanted to be the baseball tourist, you can literally go to how many towns within a quick stone throw away at that point. The Yankees and the Phillies are the Phillies feel like they're 5 minutes down the street mode.
I was gonna say, Craig, I actually have that. Dunedin's ideal spring training. It's less than an hour travel time from spring training sites of Phillies, Yankees, Pirates, and Orioles, and less than 2 hours from Twins, Red Sox, Tigers, Rays. So, you do. It's kind of ideal. But
That's pretty cool. And just so I have a question, Mo, for you. So you are the official liaison as being like a vice mayor of Dunedin to the Toronto Blue Jays. Can you explain what are the duties of the liaison role that you have?
You know, it's just kind of anything that that it has to do with something that might be city. And, well, you know, I actually had one of the Blue Jay guys call me about a code issue today that they needed to make sure they understood what they could do and what they couldn't do. And they were confused. So they kind of called me and I kind of made sure that we got some clarification on it. Obviously, when negotiations were going on, and that's when our current mayor, Julie Wojcicki, was the liaison. She had the hard work because she was right in the middle of the tough negotiations. I kind of came in when it got a little easier. And then sometimes with our high school and schools, they're just communication wise, there might be some things. Now, like early on as a liaison, I did some things to help that relationship right after the beginning of the new contract. But truthfully, like now, like, I mean, they're on their own doing great. I mean, the high school and the Blue Jays are just like, you know, they've got great communication. They don't need me in the middle. And so it's, in some ways, it's kind of the easiest job in the world. And then I go and, you know, I usually see Mark Shapiro when he's here for spring training. And when we go up on a Toronto trip to see a couple games up there, Mark and I have a meeting just to say, hey, you know, what any issues going on from the city side, from the Blue Jay side. So it's just kind of keeping the lines of communication open. So, but really, I got to tell you, Mayor Wojcicki had the hard job. I got the easy job. So it's a pretty easy job. So.
You're basically the fixer. Well, to that point. That's what it is.
Yeah, it really is.
Regardless, it sounds like the team hit it out of the park because you guys have a wonderful facility, like I said, that I can't wait to see. And I wanted to use the second half of this show to be able to talk about Dunedin in general and talk tourism. But is there anything else Blue Jay-wise you would like to, you know, bestow on us while we have you this evening?
Yeah, I do have to tell you the one story because, of course, we had regular season baseball. I think I wrote the date down, April 8th, 2021. Regular season baseball happened here. And of course we were super excited about that. And not for the reason, obviously Toronto wanted to be in their home, but couldn't be in their home because of COVID. But it was great for us. And it was the only time in my life that I've done the MLB app to watch a game, because if I wasn't at a game, I used the MLB app so I could watch it, because they wouldn't block you out. And of course, during the game, they'd show all these amazing scenes of Dunedin. And the one game that stuck out, and it was early on, it was like the third game. It was with the Angels, first series of them being here. And they had like 2.5 hours of rain. So it got rain delayed. And I still remember the announcer saying, boy, you know, Joe Maddon is walking the field and he's just looking at this drainage and how it's draining. He's just amazed with how great they did this field with drainage. And I thought, yes.
Drainage, people, yeah. Drainage.
Yeah, it was great. I just always remember that story because I was so proud.
Mo, I got two hard-hitting questions for you, okay?
Sure.
Were you a Blue Jays fan prior to being – I mean, you've been in Dunedin for a long time. When you grew up, who was your team?
So I grew up primarily in Ohio, so Cleveland Indians. My first ever major league team that I went to a game was the Cleveland Indians.
Excellent
but truthfully,
choice.
I was kind of a – I liked going to games to eat a hot dog, right? I mean, but I wasn't a big fan. Even though my family are all Indian rooters and fans. But of course, then I came here and Blue Jays became my team. And of course, you know, love the Rays. It's always hard when the Rays and Jays play, which when I just went to a spring training game, they played each other.
Yeah.
And so that's always tough. But no, I love the Jays. And I want them back in the World Series.
Yeah. Now, second part. Yeah,
we all do.
Do you on Kelly Gruber's birthday? Do you have a favorite Jay of all time? Like, I know that's hard, but
Kelly Gruber. I'm answering for Mo. It's Kelly Gruber.
Yeah, I really don't. So I'm just going to have to say it's Vladdy, because my two great nephews, who are big baseball fans, the last time they came here, if Aunt Mo didn't get them a Vladdy shirt. Yeah, there was going to be a problem. So
they
were both excited.
So. There you go. And you can't go wrong with Vladdy.
Yeah, you can't go wrong with Vladdy.
No,
only thing better is Kelly Gruber, just saying. But anyway, come on, Craig.
So, but as far as, like I said, I wanted to talk to you about the town and the city, everything around the area and whatnot, because as of somebody that has been to the area a bunch of times, and I know it's even grown up since, like I said, I haven't been back down since, like, you got the break in the new ballpark and COVID and everything. My travel's been with my job went down to nothing over that time frame, and then it stayed that way. I haven't had to travel as much as I once did. If the Blue Jay fan or anybody coming to Dunedin, what are your favorite things, your must-do items while they're in town, other than the fact of obviously catching a Blue Jay game?
There's a lot. I mean, there's a, you know, as I say, there's a lot of spokes on our wheels. But, you know, obviously the beaches draw people immediately. And we have two, you know, winning beaches. They're always tagged as, you know, some of the best in the U.S., which is Caladese Island and Honeymoon Island State Park. Caladese, you have to take a ferry to get over to it. It's very unspoiled. And usually Caladese is the one that gets named as one of the top beaches. And then Honeymoon Island is great in itself. So those are very popular places for people to go. If you don't like to go to those beaches, the lead-in, for those of you who have been here, the lead-in to go to Honeymoon Island and Caladese is Dunedin Causeway. Now, the causeway is not a true beach. It was man-made, but there's lots of area where people hang out and, you know, we'll launch things. And we kind of call it the Wild Wild West. So if you don't want to go on the real beach, like, almost anything happens out on the Dunedin Causeway. But it's fun. So, I mean, so really, beach is obviously right off the top. Our downtown, I mean, our downtown, we're very proud of it. It's quaint. It's charming. Lots of restaurants, shops. So I think we're up to 8, maybe 9 breweries now. Mostly all locally owned things, which we're very proud of that. It's not a lot of brand things. It's locally owned. You know, we've got the first ever microbrewery in the state of Florida, which has been in existence for 25 years. And actually they have helped other breweries come into Dunedin because more breweries, people want to come and do more breweries in a day. So
refresh my memory. Which brewery was that?
The Dunedin Brewery is the first microbrewery. So yeah.
I couldn't remember. I thought that was it. I was just like, it's gonna be one of those things that sounds too easy that I was gonna get wrong.
It is kind of easy, right? Dunedin Brewery. So
yeah.
And actually there's a bunch of them now. And if I'll just get in trouble if I start naming them and forget people, but I'll just make a comment because I just saw they're having a big party there called the Caledonia Brewery. And that's pretty special because we really believe and treasure our history, and that they're having the 100-year birthday of their building. So it's a 100-year building. It used to be the old Dunedin Printing building. And so they're going to celebrate and have a big party. And so I'll name that one. But other than that, I'm going to stay out of trouble. Of course, go ahead. I'll keep going.
You're more than welcome. I said, I would love for all our Blue Jays fans to be able to know where to go and what to find. And we have like I said, just because we always market this show as the barroom chat for Blue Jays fans doesn't mean it has to be all about bars. I will say that those 8 breweries were the reason I was stumbling around your town, but that's besides the point.
Well, because of your tagline too, and I said this to Craig before we went on live, I said, you know, I'm in a city facility because I really wanted to be holding, you know, maybe a craft beer or something, but Sue wouldn't let me, our communications person's like,
oh, come on, Sue.
Not true.
The one thing, honestly, I really actually, because my friends live in town there, that I was actually shocked by, and maybe it's just because I live here up in Rochester, New York, and maybe this is the Florida vibes getting in on everything. The fact that your town is so friendly with having dogs around town. There's a couple of places I was able to wander in and out of with my buddy. His dog Caser, I didn't think anything of it. He brings the dog with him everywhere, and I'm like, that's a little odd. I wasn't expecting that, but it was really cool to see that kind of environment and just, like I said, a hometown feel to it and everything like that. I thought it was great.
Yeah, we're also tagged dog Eden because we really are very dog friendly. And Eden. Of course, we have a lot of there's several restaurants that have dog and cat pictures, murals on the side of their building, and a quick funny story, because at one restaurant, I won't say the restaurant, that'll get me in trouble. They were painting. They were doing some remodeling and painting the outside of their building. And it looked like they were ready to paint over the dogs and cats. And I actually had a friend of mine call and say, like, Mo, like, what's the city going to do? They can't paint over that's my Fluffy or whatever. And I said, well, it's private, so we can't really do anything, but here's what I think you should do. I think you should get off the phone with me and you should call the manager.
Go talk.
Which he did. And the manager said, oh, no, we're not going to go that far down. We're probably going to do it eventually, but not now. And I thought, yeah, smart manager.
There would be a political correct answer.
Yeah.
Leave Fluffy alone, people. Just remember.
So, I mean, some other things to do. People love the rooftop bar at Fenway, which is an old historic hotel as well, opened in the 1920s originally. And then it was a lot of different things. It got restored, by Marriott as a signature hotel. And we have Pipers on the Pier. Scottish culture is huge for us here. So Fridays and Saturdays, we have a Piper, Pipes to the Sunset, and on the pier. And that's become really, really super popular for people. Of course, Dunedin can do special events, some of which do happen during spring training. You know, we've got St. Patrick's Day coming up, and that thing gets bigger all the time and lots of fun. And Mardi Gras, we have Highland Scottish Games, the Pinellas Trail. Golf carts are huge in Dunedin. People love their golf.
That one I did notice.
Yeah, it's huge. Yeah, we have a Welcome Back Blue Jay golf cart parade. For the Welcome Back Blue Jay event,
kind of awesome.
Comes in and everybody, you know, decorates, and the Blue Jays give like season tickets for spring training for the winner of the contest.
Nice.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so it's great. And of course, we're very artsy. We have Dunedin Fine Arts Center, but we also just have a lot of public art, and we have our famous chandeliers now. People have outdoor chandeliers they put in their front yard. They paint, you know, we have oranges that you paint on your house because of our kind of a nod to our orange groves of the past, because big on history. So historic homes and our historic train station. We got live music everywhere. Okay.
That one I definitely noticed, and that was awesome. Yeah. I was expecting, as I stayed there and there with my friends like for a month the one time, just because I needed to get away from being in El Paso, Texas for my job for more than a week. So I went and stayed with them. I couldn't believe just on weekdays, everywhere I went, there was somebody playing, and it was just, like I said, that vibe was awesome, and I loved it. And I stumbled onto Dunedin, obviously, because of the Blue Jays, and my friends just moved to Tampa when they left New York State. They came with me for a day to go visit Blue Jay spring training and wander around, and when I came back the following year, they were living there. Yes. So this is how it works.
So, that is kind of how it works. But, you know, for me, it's funny because when I first came from Dunedin, I came from Kent, Ohio, okay, right out of college. And Kent was a population of about the same number of people as Dunedin. And it was, but it was half students, college students, and half townspeople. And I came here, and it was just, there was nothing going on, nothing. I mean, and it was just, anyway, I thought, yeah, I'm not going to be able to stay here very long. But then things just started to happen. The first Mardi Gras, you know, some of the early businesses, you know, the brewery and, you know, Casatina's, the Mexican, and some of the different Kelly's at that time started to pop up. And and then it just evolved. And so all these things that were kind of vacant, closed down, or, you know, a tow yard started turning into restaurants. And, you know, it was it's a special place.
Yeah. The main drag there, I just remember, I'm like, I'm never going to hit this all in one trip. I'm going to have to come back. Yes. To that point, you, the two places you just called out there, I had brunch with my friends at Kelly's the one time, had a great time. And like I said, I just didn't want to leave. So I completely get why when you move down there, you just, yep, I'm good. And then obviously you keep growing up with the city. So that's really cool.
Well, one, I think the other thing, and I have to mention this, I said the beaches, but I think the other thing that just super special about Dunedin is, you know, the coastline. We have the whole, you know, miles of coastline. And you know, unlike some other places, we haven't blocked it off. I mean, we have a linear park where people can walk and just see the intercoastal waterway. We have our marina. We have mini parks all the way up our Alt-19. We have Dunedin Causeway. We have the state parks. We have not blocked off the beautiful waterways to the public. And that's part of what is our ambience. And, of course, it's part of our challenge, too. We have to protect that as we move forward. You know, as we look at sustainability issues and making sure we keep our, you know, our precious natural resources, you know, good.
Good deal. You two gentlemen have any questions you would like to keep asking Mo here? She's either gotten reading my mind off of my cheat sheet here, or we did conversations is going so well, it's perfect. You know,
that's my job. That's my job. Yeah,
tough questions. I've learned that, Jason. Yeah, something, you know.
No, I find it interesting. Have you seen any influx in snowbirds moving down to Dunedin or the area based on being Blue Jays fans? I mean, I know there's a lot that go down to Arizona from here, and that's basically what makes up the entirety of the Phoenix Coyotes, you know, season ticket holders. Yeah, and sure. So I'm wondering, do you see any of that? Do you see people moving down as snowbirds?
Yeah, I think that's always been true, Jason. I think even early on, we've always had, you know, a good amount of Canadians that have come here. You know, I think it got thrown off because of COVID, clearly. But I think we've always had that. And I think we always will have that. And so we definitely see that play. So, you know, you've got the visitors who come here just to, you know, visit for a little while. And then you have some people that literally consider this their second home. Some may not rent specifically in Dunedin. Many do. But some will be just outside. And it's such a driver is the games, the Blue Jays, and because they've come to love Dunedin. So.
I got a question for you, Mo.
Go ahead, Bart.
What's next for basically the city of Dunedin and the Jays? Like, how are you going to evolve the marriage even further, right? Because you guys have done so much already. What's there left to do for you guys? Like, in your vision, what do you see?
Well, I mean, in 1992 and 93, there was back-to-back World Series. So I think that, you know, my message, and I say this to Mark Shapiro as much as I can, my message is I'm ready. I mean, you know, hey, I'm elected. I'm paying for my own ticket, but I'm ready to go. And so I think that would really make, you know, a nice celebration for our marriage, especially for our 50th wedding anniversary. So.
Yeah. It'd be good. It'd be great for the city too, because you would be able to, the celebration would be able to be held over a little bit, and the city would get some of that, which would be awesome. I mean, you know, selfishly, we'd like to win the World Series, but for the town of Dunedin, it'd be pretty cool.
Yeah. I mean, you know, Dunedin won the jackpot in so many ways, but definitely by having this amazing relationship with a major league team like, you know, Toronto Blue Jays and all the things that come with it, because Toronto and the Canadians are amazing people. It's an amazing country. It's a real gift for us. And I like to feel it's the same back to them.
There you go. I'm going to expand on where Jason asked that last question a minute ago with the Snowbirds moving there. Have you noticed the influx of players moving to Dunedin or the Dunedin area now that you have that wonderful complex to be, you know, gathering them into all year round for the Blue Jays?
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously you'll have the hotel, so that's going to be pretty cool.
Yep. But,
I mean, as far as regular players,
big guys, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know actual numbers on that, but it is my understanding. We have definitely had some of the players who want to be down here more of the time, get a place down here. And truthfully, from the leadership on to the players, I mean, that's been what's, I think's really been kind of special, is that they love Dunedin. They love it here. And they just come here and they fall in love with it. So yes, I mean, I think that is happening. And I know it's happened at the leadership level, and it's happened in some of the player level.
Now, I know it happened on your quote unquote current favorite Blue Jay recently. So you said it on the set of
okay,
yesterday.
See, you guys are way ahead of me on some of that.
Yeah. I'm giving you your scoop. I don't know if he moved to Dunedin or if he's around the area. He said 15-minute drive, which is a lot of places when you're right around everything in 15 minutes right there where you're at.
Ruben moved to Dunedin?
Yeah.
Vladdy is living somewhere in the ballpark around there, is what where he said to Harold Reynolds yesterday when he was on the MLB Network. They do the 30 teams and spring training visits every spring. Right. And I guess Saturday was the day they were in Dunedin checking out the new complex and talking to the players and stuff. And it was a really cool time to see everything. Because as Blue Jays fans, you know, unless we are down there or visiting with somebody like yourself, Mo, we don't get that little inside look. Yeah. So it was really nice to be able to see that piece to it and see all the, like you said, the fruits of the labor that everybody's put into it. And it's clearly a labor of love that's going on there in all avenues, because they got something special brewing.
Yeah, it is a labor of love. I mean, in every way. I mean, Dunedin, the Blue Jays, the partnership. It's a very special, and it's a gift to us, and I think a gift to the Blue Jay leadership as well, and the players.
Yeah, really cool stuff. So, is there anything you would like to plug or to discuss before we do our two silly sign off here that we always do? I've been finding baseball bloopers that we all chit chat about really quickly before we go off of the air. And I just found some Blue Jays fan stuff that I just thought was amusing to just talk to and just get a good laugh here to end the show on. So, is there anything you would like to plug or talk about?
No, I'm good. I appreciate you guys asking me to be on, and I appreciate all you're doing for the Blue Jays and keeping the vibe going, and appreciate all the good stuff I can say about Dunedin. So, and you know, you guys got to get down here so you see it yourself.
But tell Mark or any of the other Jays that you talk to, they're more than welcome to come on the cast. We would love to have them. You know, Yeah.
There you go. Yep. We're not the official Blue Jays podcast, but we're working as best as we can in that direction.
Yeah.
I will pass it on. That's all I can do, guys.
There you go. That's good awesome. Deal. And it's a pleasure having on you. So I'm going to just share my screen here. And like I said, I got some silly bloopers here that we can just chit chat and like talk about here before we sign off here. It's a good, fun, light way. Maybe it's just my friends that are doing stand-up comedy all the time. They say, end on a joke. So I'm making sure we end on a joke. So if everybody can see my screen, like I said, I'm just going to, these are some funny things that happened in the ballpark over the last couple of years and whatnot. And I don't know if there's anything odd like this that's happened during your games down there in Dunedin, Mo, or not. Of course, it's going to stall out on me now. But is there anything that you've been in the ballpark, even in general, that's been a silly thing that you've seen that you can't believe you kind of saw it ballpark?
Yeah. The only thing that came to mind is, during COVID, of course, they only let 15% capacity in. Of course, they had all those cardboard fans.
Yeah.
And, somebody took a picture of me next to one of the cardboard fans, and I didn't realize it until I got home. Then I got home. It was actually a dog in a Blue Jay outfit. It wasn't even a fan. It was a dog fan. Yeah. So anyway, you kind of had to see it.
Yeah. So as we get a look at what is Minoru Kawasaki in the dugout and goofing around dancing and whatnot, but this is the fun that we don't see much anymore in most of the ballparks. And correct me if I'm wrong, you guys have always had grass at the Blue Jay ballpark, TD ballpark. You don't see these kind of things south of in Florida where the ball bounces all over the place. Or saw one of those the other day.
Wow.
It's just fun stuff that happens when you're getting ready for the season and whatnot. And that one tore the ball off the cover.
Wow.
So.
Wow.
But these are the kind of silly things that just all day, every day in Major League Baseball, you know, there's a reason you practice. There's a reason spring training. And there's a reason that we get all the wonderful players that we have going through the minor league system.
Oh, geez.
Sometimes things just happen. And so.
I appreciate
that's a hell of a play.
I appreciate so much just watching some of these guys, the humility that they play with when they're in spring training, realizing that everybody can make a mistake. And I saw George Springer run. I can't remember who botched a ball at one, but he ran in and gave him a tap to sort of say, "Hey, don't worry about it, buddy." It happens to us all. It's happened to everybody. So it must be such an amazing feeling as. So many kids make their first step onto an MLB field in Dunedin. There. It's so many kids' dreams are realized on that field in Dunedin, as the first time they put on the uni and the first time they do all that stuff. So it's a pretty cool thing.
Wow.
Yep.
I'm just taking it back.
As we end on Edwin Encarnacion throwing a bat into the stands like he tended to do. Swings hard in case he misses it, right?
But
there's always something to see at the ballpark, whether it's a silly thing happened tonight, grab a hot dog and an ice cream like Mo was talking about earlier, whatever it might be. But that's how it is, and I'm just glad we all get to be a part of it and get to watch. So, and I'm just going to say, Mo and your team, thank you very much for keeping the Blue Jays in Dunedin. I cannot say enough good things about that happening. And it's like you said, it's the perfect marriage. There's a reason it's going to last more than 50 years at this point. Yeah. It was 75 by the time it wraps up at this point. So that's really, really cool.
Right.
So thank you very much for being on the show this tonight. We appreciate it. Anytime you want to come back on, you are more than welcome.
Great. Share thanks for having stories. Me, guys. Thanks a lot.
No See problem. You down here. So,
yeah.
That is going to happen in the very near future. I'm going to make sure of it. So on that note, Blue Jays fans, thank you very much for listening to us. We have had Mo Freeney, and apparently Sue is still hanging out in the background. Great having you. It's been a pleasure having you both on the show this evening. And Jason and Ken, obviously, thank you very much. We have a tradition of ending this show with something funny enough that happened during the COVID years when we were down in Blue Jay land, down in Dunedin. Caleb Joseph started this chant with the Blue Jays, which was two claps, what he called a Ric Flair and a Let's Go Blue Jays. So it's a 1-2, woo, and a Let's Go Blue Jays. So we'll end the show on the normal, everybody, and we'll talk again. And thank you very much, everybody, for listening. We'll see you again next week. 1, 2, 3.
Woo!
Let's go Blue Jays.
Happy birthday, Kelly Gruber.
Kelly Gruber. Thank you for listening to the Jaybird Watching Podcast. Please follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Twitch, at Birdwatching GC, and our YouTube channel. If you want to support the show and get extra content, please consider joining it to our Patreon at patreon.com/birdwatchinggc. Go Jays, go.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.